Getting ready here. Turn to the book of Amos. That's right after the book of Joel, if that helps. It's on page 1277, if that helps. But when you find Amos 3, you can stand and we're going to read a couple of verses. All right, Amos 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which are brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people will not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants and prophets. If you bow with me in prayer, please. Lord, we do love you so much. We seldom think of some of these Old Testament prophets. It's just amazing to read in your word how you use them, the things that they were able to do and did do through your power and through your guidance, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the instructions that he had for Israel that we can apply them to our own lives, that we might be the people you'd have for us to be. Help us to be attentive and learn this evening, that we might be able to do what it is you've called for us to do, Lord, to fulfill our calling, to bring honor to you through the things that we do. We love you. We want to serve you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Amos. Most people don't really know who the person Amos was. Everybody's heard of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Jonah, all that. But who's Amos? He was a herdsman from a little town called Tekoa, about 6 miles south of Bethlehem. He wasn't a wealthy person. He wasn't a sheep owner, but he was a sheep herder, like a hired hand to watch somebody else's sheep. To make extra money, he gathered kindling and picked figs. This was done during about the same time Hosea was prophesying during the reign of King Uzziah. It was a time of great prosperity. It was a time of great luxury. And he was looked upon, kind of like we look on the guys at the highway intersections holding their signs up or standing around, just you go to Walmart at night and they come to your window wanting money to buy whatever. That's how people looked on Amos. He probably could have done better for himself, but he was satisfied with where God had him in life. Because when Amos spoke, people listened. So if nothing else, it shows us that God, you don't have to be someone wealthy, someone of importance, someone of high standing for God to use you. God can use anybody like he used Amos. So in the first part of the chapter, to kind of lay a groundwork for where we're headed, all the nations around Judah and Israel, in chapter 1, verse 3, says, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Doesn't mean there was only three or four problems. It just meant God got tired of counting to four. Kind of like our lives. And they kept getting worse and worse as they went along. They were guilty of sins against God's chosen people. So God was going to punish them. Then verse 6, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away the punishment. thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. So God, talking about Gaza, that's in the news now. Same thing that we're reading about now. They were persecuting, attacking, disturbing God's chosen people. Verse 11, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. The Edomites had an unnatural hatred for the Jews. You read all in the news now about the anti-Semitism. Well, the Edomites were extreme anti-Semitists. How are you going to say that? They just took it to the extreme measures. Verse 13, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four. The Ammonites were the most barbaric of the bunch. Their thing was torture and finding wildly creative methods of murdering the Jews. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment. The Moabites' goal was not to just persecute the Jews. Their goal was to destroy them, burn their cities, wipe them off the face of the earth. These are all the countries surrounding the divided kingdom. There's Judah and there's Israel. But both of them together still God's chosen people. Just a divided kingdom at this point. The divided kingdom, Judah, they had contempt for God's law and they were worshiping idols. Israel, they were, the things that they did, they were politically motivated. They oppressed the poor, involved in sexual sins. They desecrated the house of God. They were using it to, well, we just took up the offering. What they were doing in Israel, when the offering came in, they kind of took what they wanted and left the rest. And then they also used it for big drunken parties. It was like this was their venue, was the house of God. So, we've got all these countries around Judah and Israel. Then we have Judah and Israel. But they're all sinning the same kind of sins. So what does God do? In the cases of the Syrians, the Philistines, inhabitants of Tyre, Edomites, Ammonites, Moabites, God's judgment, he says, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. The punishment was their cities were burned, the people were killed, they were overrun by the countries that surrounded them. Same thing they were trying to do to God's people. Why? Because they were evil, wicked people doing what they wanted to do. They were doing what was right in their own eyes. Worshiping their made-up gods instead of the one true God. Basically, that represents the unsaved people of the world now. Doing whatever they want, when they want, with whoever they want. Because, God's going to punish evil, but they're not worshiping God, so they don't even think about it. In the cases of Judah and Israel, punishment was the same. Cities burned, people killed, nations overrun by the armies of those surrounding them. Why? Same reason. They were evil, wicked people doing that which was right in their own eyes, like it says in Judges 17. They worshiped idols. They had their own made-up gods. They did what they wanted to do when they wanted to do it. So what was the difference? The first group were being punished and judged solely for their wickedness and sins against God's people. Just like today. The unsaved people of the world, my mom used to always say, why do people act like that? I said, that's how unsaved people act. But regardless, there's still a price to pay for their sin. There's still judgment. Judah and Israel were being punished for their wickedness and sins. The difference was they knew God, and their sins were against God, not just against other people. They knew God. They knew what they were supposed to do. They'd done it before. They had the law. They had the prophets. They had God's instruction. They just didn't care. So in chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" I know you've all heard that verse before. And usually when we hear it, it's talking about choices of friends or choices of spouses or business associates or churches that are related. How can you have friends and acquaintances that don't think the way you do? What the verse is talking about, in order for two people to walk together, they need to walk same speed, same direction, same goals, same ideas, headed towards the same destination. Usually, it's agreed upon before the walk starts. Where are we going? How are we going to get there? What are we going to do while we're going? Where are we going to make a pit stop? What are we going to do when we get where we're going? Just like taking a vacation with the family. You don't just jump in the car and turn it on and close your eyes and hope it ends up somewhere. There's a plan. But when it applies to us as Christians, and it applies to our families and our friends and our business associates, our churches, families can't be successful in raising the children if they don't agree on how to do it. A business won't be successful if the partners can't agree on how to keep the books. You know, we had a youth rally here a couple of weeks ago. United Youth. Well, that's great. But it wouldn't work if one church was Baptist, one church was Catholic, one church was Church of Christ. They have to have the same, going the same way, the same direction, the same ideas, same destination in order for it to work. They have to have a same plan. But in Amos chapter 3, it says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed?" This wasn't a case of the people of Judah and Israel not walking with the countries around them. That caused conflict, sure, because there were, it's just like we have a border, and we have people cross the border illegally, people cross the border illegally. They had the same problem. But what God's talking about, they weren't walking with God. They didn't have the same trip plan. They weren't going the same direction. They weren't going the same speed. They didn't have the same stops. They didn't have the same final destination in mind. That's why God was punishing those nations, because they chose not to walk with God. All the other countries that didn't matter, they didn't know God. They walked where they wanted to walk when they wanted to walk. People of Israel knew better. People of Judah knew better. So on the one hand, God's people, Judah and Israel, they were so excited to see God punish those countries around them for being such evil, wicked people. But when God turns his wrath on them, they say, what's the matter? What are you doing? We're your people. You brought us up out of Egypt. You led us 40 years in the wilderness. We prayed to you. What have we done to deserve this? They're like flabbergasted that God would treat them the same way he treated everybody else. God's response was what we just read in verse 3. Can two walk together except we be agreed? Verse 4 says, will a lion roar in the forest when he's taken no prey? Verse 5, can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin or where no grain is? Verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? In other words, if there's an action, there's a reaction. If something happens here, there is a consequence here. God's telling Israel, your actions have consequences. Your actions are not happening just in your own lives. I see what's going on. And I'm going to take care of it. Because you're not behaving. God said, yeah, I punished the other nations for their wickedness, but you know better. You got my law. You heard my prophets. You're held to a higher accountability because of it. Some of you younger people and probably never heard this. The old, a long time ago, American Express ad, membership has its privileges. It did. As you use the American Express card, it built up travel miles or it built up discounts for this, or you could go to a store and use your points for this. And they have cards like that now anyway, but the model kind of went with it. But along with those perks, along with those privileges came what? A bill every month. As a consequence to using that card. You don't just get to use the card, get the perks, and go away, be happy. There's a price to pay. You don't get one without the other. So God's talking to his people. How can you expect my blessings when you're living to whatever you want? How can we walk together if we don't agree? I've told you how to live. I've told you how to act. I've told you what you're supposed to do. And you're not doing it. But you still expect my blessings. You still expect something good to come just because you're my chosen people. Colossians 3:5. We were comparing the surrounding countries to the unsaved people and Judah and Israel as the saved people. Can you do the same comparison? Colossians 3:5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived them. In other words, before you were saved, you might have done some of those things. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry. And there were still consequences. But he says, now you're saved. Now it's different. That's how you walked before. Now you need to walk with me. He says, now put off also all of these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now that we're saved, there's a whole other set of instructions, just like it was for these two nations. The other people, they didn't get away with it, but they were still judged. But Israel and Judah couldn't figure out why God was punishing them. God said, just because you used to act like that doesn't mean you can still do it. God's telling us the same thing. Just because you used to act a certain way before you got saved, stop it. You're not supposed to do that anymore. So what we need to do is kind of, I know before we have the Lord's Supper, we have a time of prayer. That's how we kind of look deep inside ourselves, search our soul, make sure that everything's good, no sin we're hiding, everything's confessed, making sure we're spiritually able to do communion. In verse 3, asking two people walk together, it doesn't say, can two take a walk together? It's different. Words, every word in the Bible is there for a purpose. If you change a word, it changes the whole meaning. The word Amos used here for walk in verse 3, it doesn't mean just take a walk and then you're done. The tense is a continuous tense verb. It means 24/7 walking. A lifestyle, a lifetime of walking. How can you spend your life being Christ-like if you don't agree with Christ? How can you walk with Him every day at school, at work, at home, driving a tractor, whatever it is? How can you say you walk with Him and do some of the things that we do? Because it's a continuous requirement. Most days, Connie and I get together noonish, take a 2-3 mile walk. We have a little, and it's just like the thing said. We go about the same speed every time. I set the pace because I'm the slowest. We have a route. We know how many laps we're going to go. Unless something weird happens, we walk 3 laps. It's like 2¾ miles in 3 laps. So we take a walk. But when we're done, we go back to what we were doing. She goes back to work or whatever. I come back here, I run errands, whatever. We're walking the same speed. We're going the same direction. We have the same goals. We have the same ideas. The same destination. Exactly the way God planned it. But when we're done, we go back. That's not what God wants. You don't get to take a walk with God and then when you get tired, go do what you want. When you get angry without cause or bitter or gossip or have a bad attitude or drink or smoke or lie, whatever the case may be. Jesus is saying, how can we walk together if we're not the same? We're not agreed on how life is supposed to work. We walk with them a little while, and then we go back to the bad attitude we had at work. Or we go back to watching something on TV we shouldn't be watching. Or listening to music we shouldn't be listening to. Or that bad habit we know we ought to get rid of but didn't. Because walk's over. But God says, how can we walk together if we don't agree? I want you to walk with me. Well, take a walk with me. In the HOPE program, we have one of the study points is you can choose your sin, you can't choose the consequences. In other words, you can do anything you want. Elliot, if tomorrow you knew you could do anything in the world you wanted to do, what would you do? Go buy a boat. There's, you know what the two most exciting days of boat owners' life is? The day they buy the boat, the day they sell the boat. Been there, done that. You can do whatever you want. But whatever you do, there's consequences. You don't get to pick what happens. As Christians, we want God's love. We want God's strength. We want God's guidance. We want the Holy Spirit to illuminate scriptures for us. We want His blessings. We want our prayers answered, all these kind of things. And we expect it to happen living the way we want to live. Doesn't work that way. We're not walking with the Lord. And when we don't get what we expect, we're just like the people of Judah and Israel. What's wrong? I go to church. I read my Bible most days. I pray when I need something. I try not to act too weird at church. I'm one of your children. What's wrong? Well, there's more to it than that. Just think about it in your own head. Did you read your Bible today? Did you tithe this week? Did you invite somebody to church? Did you leave a tract somewhere? What about the things he asked you not to do? Those habits we talked about a while ago. How was your attitude today at work? Trust me, even being on staff, I always tell Connie I get the advantage on my Bible reading because I get paid to sit there and read my Bible. But at the same time, trying to read, trying to study, I understand why a preacher wants to be not bothered till after lunchtime, because you write 2-3 things on your notes and the phone rings. And you write 2-3 things on your notes and you get a text from the person who made the phone call. And over and over. So by the time that happens 40-11 times, your mind's not on the message that you're trying to preach. Your mind is, why can't those people leave me alone? Well, they went walking with God because I just blew it. When things like that happen to you today, how did you act? How did you react? So while you're thinking of that, answer this. Can you and God walk together? Except they be agreed. Are you agreed? Have you been agreed all day? There's an old saying, you may be the only Jesus some people see. And you certainly don't want them to see you when you're not walking with him. So if you'll stand, please, with the heads bowed.